Praise God. Praise God. What an honor to be here tonight. Amen. The reason why we're having cake and coffee is because it is Pastor and Sister Portman's one-year pastoral anniversary. That's why we're having cake and coffee. And Lord willing, a year from now we'll have cake and coffee on their second pastoral anniversary. And then, work with me here, the third year, should the Lord tarry, we might even throw ice cream in there and have cake. Oh, I'm on a mission here tonight. I most definitely feel in the Holy Ghost. I wonder, could we lift our hands to the Lord just right now, wherever you're at? Could you lift your hands to the Lord? Can we give the Lord praise right now? Father, we love you. We honor you, Lord. All glory, all honor, all power belongs to you. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of your glory. There's not a moment where you are not perfect. There is not a place where you are not God. I worship you, Lord. Ha ha kabahata yatara bahaya. Amayaro boshanda yatara yatoro bokota yataha. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for the privilege to be here tonight. My wife and I so enjoyed our time here. We're very, very grateful to the Portmans at their invitation. However, I did invite myself. But I would not have come if he had not allowed me to come. And so I appreciate that very much. I honor Brother and Sister Schumacher for not just all their years of service, but I so appreciate his sensitivity to the Holy Ghost this morning as God used him in a message in tongues and interpretation that I certainly feel was exactly where we were at. Amen. God spoke to us, and I'm thankful for that. I would draw your attention to 1 Samuel 2:30. When I say this, it's always dangerous. I don't believe I'm going to preach too long tonight. But I pray what I feel the Lord has put in my heart will go beyond the time it takes me to say it, and that it somehow will impact all of our hearts and lives. Our scripture setting tonight, just one verse of scripture, 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. Eli, the high priest, during the time of Samuel, has sort of lost his way and lost his purpose. And his sons, and there's just a lot of things. And I don't want to go into that tonight because I don't feel the Lord would have us to do that. But there is a principle that is being taught here that the Lord expresses to Eli. The Bible is a book of principles. Amen. And from Genesis to Revelation, you can find these principles. And if we will live by those principles, our lives will be blessed and we will experience more abundant life. And so there's a principle here that I want to talk to you, Lord willing, tonight. 1 Samuel 2:30, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me," talking about Eli, "for them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." So, rather sobering verse, or an incredibly powerful verse, depending on what side you're on. Amen. "For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." I want to preach to you tonight for the next little bit on this, the honor principle. The honor principle. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you. I, Let's just talk here tonight. I may get excited. I typically do. But if you notice what Mark, the Gospel of Mark, records for us in Jesus' hometown of Nazareth, it's rather a head-scratcher until you understand the issue. Mark 6:5, if you just read that verse of Scripture, you would wonder, what in the world? And he, referring to Jesus, and he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. The Lord could do no mighty work. God manifested in the flesh, Jesus Christ, could do no mighty work. Well, what that meant was, it didn't mean he was withholding, rather he was restrained. Our question becomes, why couldn't Jesus do any mighty works in Nazareth? What restrained him from doing any mighty works? Can I say he wanted to? He performed great miracles in other cities. The blind saw, the deaf ears were opened, the crippled were suddenly walking, the dead were raised. Why were only a few sick healed in this city? Our answer is found in the words of the Nazarene people from the preceding verses. Mark 6:1, and Jesus went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which he is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Do you understand what Jesus was saying? Jesus was saying, you know, these people were saying, you know, who does this guy think he is? What in the world? We know him. We saw him grow up. We understand all about him. Amen. Who does he think he is? And Jesus makes a statement. You know, pretty well wherever a prophet goes, he's honored, except in his own country, in his own home, in his own city, among his own relatives, in his own house. So Jesus connected something here. And an inability to do the miraculous and unbelief with honor. Nazareth was so familiar with Jesus, they felt they couldn't or they wouldn't honor him. The Greek word for honor simply means valuing. When you speak of the word honor to a Greek man, he thinks of something valuable. He thinks of something precious. He thinks of something weighty. He thinks of something such as gold or some incredible precious mineral or diamond or jewel. Honor can be displayed in action. Honor can be displayed in word. Honor can be displayed in thought. But all true honor originates from the heart. This is why God says in Isaiah 29:13, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Jesus said the people of Nazareth withheld honor from him, so therefore he was restrained. One of the saddest verses of Scripture in the Gospels, he was restrained from doing any mighty work. He was restrained from doing the miraculous in their midst. He was restrained from doing what he really wanted to do in their midst in that city, because they refused to honor him. Jesus was teaching in a full house, full of people. They had come from all over to hear Jesus teach. Luke records for us these words in Luke 5, verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power of the Lord was present to heal everybody in that house. Can I tell you something? The power of the Lord is in this house tonight to heal not just one, not just a couple, but to heal everybody in this house, to heal you physically, to heal you emotionally, to heal you spiritually. The power of the Lord is in this house tonight to do the miraculous. Friends brought a sick man to the house to be healed. They tried to get in the back door, they tried to get in the front door, they tried to get in the windows, but it was packed with doctors of the law and Pharisees and all different types of hoity-toity people that were from the area. Amen. They couldn't get in, and so they climbed up on top of the roof, tore away the tilings of the roof, and they lowered their sick friend into the presence of Jesus Christ. Jesus saw their faith, and he forgave the man of his sins, He healed that man. He ended up taking up his couch, his bed, that stretcher, and running out of that place. Amen. Praising and worshiping the Lord. The Bible says they were all amazed, but not a one of them was healed. But that man, sick of the palsy, they received no reward. Why? I propose to you, because they dishonored Jesus merely by the way they thought. Luke 5:21, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, when he perceived their thoughts, when he perceived what they were thinking, he answered and said unto them, "What reason ye in your hearts?" In this instant, it wasn't their actions nor their words, but their unvoiced thoughts. Honor or dishonor can be displayed in deed. Honor or dishonor can be displayed in word. But brothers and sisters, honor and display can be displayed. Honor or dishonor can be displayed in our thoughts. All true honor originates from the heart. Amen. And you control what's in your heart. I have no idea what you're thinking right now. I have no idea what's running through your brain right now. Where is he going with this? What's happening? Man, I hope he'll get done. I'd really like to get a piece of cake before it gets too late, because I got to get up early tomorrow morning. I don't know what you're thinking. Amen. But I want you to know what's in your heart tonight will determine what God can do in your life. And if you've been hurt, I'm sorry. And that might sound so tritely how I say that, but let me tell you something. Amen. You're the one that controls what's in your heart. You control what you think about. Amen. You control. Amen. Your heart is a gate. Amen. And you open or you close what you allow in, and what you choose to think about or what you don't think about. And do you understand tonight, amen, what you're allowing in your heart, amen, is, praise the Lord, my God, amen, it will determine what God can do in your life today. And I'm going to say what God can do in your family, amen, in future generations. A Roman officer, a centurion, came to Jesus and pleaded with him to come and heal his sick servant. Jesus agreed and said, "I will come and heal him." Matthew 8:8, the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, notice this, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. This was a non-Israeli. This was a Gentile. This was a centurion man. And yet the Lord said, I have found a man. I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. What made this man's faith? What made this faith of his so great? It was the coupling of the honor he showed Jesus and his understanding of authority. He said, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. I am not worthy. I am a man of authority. I tell people go and they go. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. I tell people what to do and where to go. If you will, I'm not worthy that you should come into my home. But if you'll just speak the word, amen, I know my servant will be healed. Healing came to the servant because his master had faith and he understood authority. I believe he had faith and was in submission because he honored Jesus Christ. I personally do not think that you could separate faith from honor. I'm not saying you can't have faith if you dishonor, but I want you to know if you want to have great faith, there's got to be something within your mind and your heart and your life. Amen. There's got to be an honoring Jesus Christ. Honoring Jesus resulted in faith in Jesus, and it resulted in the miraculous. If there's something we need in these last days, we need signs following like never before. If there's something we need like never before, we need the power of God to be manifested, His glory to be manifested in our midst. The honor principle. Each incident that I have tried to share with you uniquely reflects their stewardship or lack thereof of honor. Again, our text. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Those who honor God will be honored. I believe the key to the miracle-working power of God is found in honor. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I don't want to come to church because I want to show off. I don't want to come to church because I want people, amen, to see me. I don't want to come to church to somehow, amen, be some hotshot. Amen, I want to come to church to honor him. I want to honor him. I want to honor him. I'll tell you what, when I get up tomorrow morning, I want to honor him with my life. I want to honor him, praise the Lord, when I'm in church and when I'm not in church. I want to live a life of honor. I want to honor the Lord. I thank God for these musicians and singers. I believe they're up here with one thing in mind, and that is to honor the Lord. You ought to be grateful for that. Amen. You ought to thank God for that. Amen. You got a pastor that gets up here, amen, this morning and tonight, and each time, amen, there's tears that come. Amen. He gets choked up talking about the things of God. I'll tell you what, he's trying to honor God. You ought to thank God. You got a pastor that wants to honor the Lord. Yeah. I had a breakfast meeting with a pastor in the Milwaukee area, and we talked about our desire to see the Lord work supernaturally. Admittedly, he is more skilled and gifted and studious about signs and wonders and healings than I am. And he sent me a list of books about a church out on the West Coast that's just seeing supernatural things happen. Healings are taking place in their midst all the time, at least that's what he said. And so he shared that with me. Well, I mentioned something to him about a key to the supernatural, and he scoffed at it. And perhaps you will too. I in no way believe, and hear me, I in no way believe that this is the end all of the subject of the miraculous. But I believe this is a vital part. I believe one of the keys to the miracle-working power of God is found in honor. On more than one occasion, Jesus made the following statement, John 13:20, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." If you could leave that up for a moment. One man has interpreted this passage of Scripture as this: "He that honors whoever I send honors me, and he that honors me honors him that sent me." He that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that honors whoever I send honors me, and he that honors me honors him that sent me. Thank you. In other words, we honor God by receiving a man of God. Or when we honor the man of God, we are honoring God. Our attitude toward God is reflected by our behavior toward the man of God. Paul said this in 1 Timothy 5:17, "Let elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." There is a difference between honor and worship. Forever and ever and ever, we will worship only Jesus Christ. He's the Lord and he's the King. Forever and ever, he's the one that we will worship. Amen. He is worthy of all our worship. He is worthy of all our praise. However, forever and ever, we are to give honor to whom honor is due. Did I say I invited myself to preach? I just want to remind you all of that. And you and Brother Schumacher and Brother Portman Pastor Portman don't talk about what they're going to preach. I definitely didn't talk with Pastor Portman about what I was going to preach. It's proper protocol in the kingdom of God to give honor. Thank you for what you're doing by honoring the Portmans this first year pastoral anniversary. But this is so much more than just honoring a couple. You know, it was so cool. We were eating at Olive Garden today. Amen. Our server came up and said, "There's people over at that table and they insist on paying for your meal." I thought, man, I wish I would have ordered more. Give me some to-go orders here, just for the week. I don't know who did that. I know it was people from the Portmans. No, that's called honoring your pastor. Thank you for doing that. Oh, you say that's a little deal. No, it's not a little deal. Amen. God keeps good books, praise the Lord. And when you begin to honor the man of God, amen, the woman of God in your life, I just have to believe this, amen. There's something that happens, praise the Lord, in a powerful way. Honoring the man of God brings the power of God. I was privileged to preach a few months ago at Woodlawn Church in Columbia, Mississippi. I don't know if you've heard about it or ever been there, but Columbia, Mississippi is a tiny little city. It's a tiny little town, and the biggest thing going in that city is Woodlawn Church. And I was privileged to preach there on a Wednesday night. And I got up, and I won't forget it. Amen. I made reference to Pastor Jaron Carney for many, many years. James Carney was the pastor, and he went on to be the bishop, and then Pastor Jaron Carney, the pastor, and then unfortunately, Pastor or Bishop Carney, James Carney, passed away of cancer. But he's passed away a few years ago. And I got behind the pulpit, and I made reference to Bishop Carney. What a great man! Of how he had impacted my life, just the little bit that I knew him. And I made reference to Pastor Jaron Carney, of what an incredible man he was and is. And suddenly that church just exploded in praise, standing ovation, and all of these different things. And I began to think, the church is experiencing incredible growth. When I tell you that I don't think there are 1,000 people in that city of Columbia, I'm not exaggerating, but I will tell you there's over 1,000 people in that church. I've never seen a complex like that church. I mean, it is absolutely unbelievable. The blocks that it takes up, and it's incredible. And I was thinking there as I was standing, and these people are applauding the memory of Bishop Carney and applauding Pastor Carney. And I remember being at a meeting many years ago when Billy Cole, amen, a similar thing happened when he had mentioned about the pastor of the church, and everybody applauded. And he said, "You want to know something? Amen. Growth is connected to the honoring the man of God. And if you'll honor the pastor, amen, God will give you growth." I believe, praise the Lord, there's a connection there. Oh, I'm telling you, amen, God was been good to me, and this has nothing to do with me. But many years ago, amen, I was asked to preach for Brother Whalen in Oklahoma City. My wife and I went there. We were young evangelists and preached, and it was that day. They went from Sunday to Sunday. I'm telling you what, I think Monday night was off. I'm not sure, but it was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, or maybe it was Saturday was off. And Monday, I don't know, it was a lot of church. And God just, I remember it was just an incredible move of the Holy Ghost. There were many, many people that received the Holy Ghost. And there was just an incredible, it was just one of those God things. But there was something that happened. So every time I've gone back to Oklahoma City, amen, there's a great move of God. I preach their youth camp, and there was this incredible move of God and people getting the Holy Ghost, and it wasn't me whatsoever, but there was something that happened. Amen. I know who I am, but there was this. They honored me. I mean, they said, "Oh, Brother Booker's coming. Brother Booker's coming." And for a while, I'd look around thinking, "Now, who are they talking about? They must be talking about this Larry Booker, because it can't be Jim Booker. No. Oh, Brother Booker's here." And there was something that happened, and it was a God thing. What I'm trying to tell you is there really is a connection. Amen. When we first went to West Bend, Brother and Sister Pankinen, Mike and Sandy Pankinen, and I'm going to say something about them, to honor them here in a moment. But when we first came to West Bend 39 years ago, I got 100% of the vote, and they lied about other stuff too. What do I mean by that? Amen. Brother David Norris started the church. Church was 4 or 5 years old. We were in a house, and he felt called to go to Bible school and went to ABI, and he now is, and then he went out to Kent, and then he's at Urshan, and he's a professor there at the seminary, and he's an incredible, incredible, incredible man of God. But he told the people, and I foolishly said, "I better get 100% of the vote, then I'll know it's God's will for me to come," and that was foolish on my part. So they voted, and they didn't. They were so mad at me because they took it out on my wife and I because they loved the Norrises, and I love the Norrises, still do. But I remember Man, my poor wife, every Monday I said, I'm going to quit. We're leaving. And she'd say, did God tell you we should leave? No. It was terrible. When we got off the evangelistic field, the average pay 39 years ago was like $500 for a week of services, $500. Sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less. Man, when I preached in Oklahoma, they treated me pretty incredible. I almost ever got, like, I got $1,100. Thought, man, I'd like to preach there every week. That was a carnal moment. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Back to being spiritual. But so it was like $500. Well, when I came to West Bend, I was paid $150 a week, and we were living upstairs. I'm trying to give you context. The church started to grow. Finances started to grow. And so I remember, it was a struggle, $150. I mean, that was a struggle. And so remember, asked for getting $250 a week. And the church secretary at the time resigned. And her reason for resigning was, she said, the curtains haven't been clean, and you have your nerve. The Pankins will remember, we were in this living room, dining room, and we had a window unit, an air conditioner unit, and there was a window there, obviously a window air conditioning unit, duh, and there was curtains there, similar to here, amen, and there was a guy, you remember Mr. Pankin, he would come in, he was good size, and he always would sit right in front of the air conditioner. So you'd walk in, and if you got there first, you could hang meat in this, you know. But then when you'd sit there, it'd get all blocked. And here were these curtains, these drapes. They weren't that big a deal. And I'll never forget. She said, these curtains need to be clean, and you have your nerve to ask for money. I remember. For Christmas, my uncle pastored in Tennessee, and he was all offended. He said, you know what the church gave me for my Christmas present? I said, what, Uncle Vernon? He said, tires for my car. That's not personal. That's not very nice. I said, you want to know what my wife and I got for Christmas? We got a card that said, our Christmas present to you is vials of prayer. Now, that was my present. I thought they were praying for us anyway, okay? Never assume anything. I remember that there were people that wanted to do some things for us. And one individual said, you know what? That's what we pay him for. Why should we give him anything extra? That's what we pay him for. Now, I'm going to say this. There were those that withheld paying tithes because they were really trying to starve us out. What they didn't realize is I had a second income. And also I was in the will of the Lord. I preached out a lot. And so we were able to make it. But I remember distinctly one Christmas, Brother Pankinen and Sister Pankinen came. And I'm sorry if this embarrasses you, but I feel to say this. Brother and Sister Pankinen came to us just before Christmas, and Brother Pankinen had gotten a bonus. And Brother Pankinen said, we want you to have a portion of this bonus. And because they gave some money to us, we were able to buy Christmas presents for our kids. They honored us. And I publicly honor you tonight for that. Now, I want you to understand something. Amen. The church in West Bend treats us so good now. They honor us every anniversary, every pastoral anniversary. They honor our birthdays. Amen. They honor us during pastor appreciation or clergy appreciation. I am wearing a very, very nice watch that they bought me for my 65th birthday. There are things that this church has done. It's not at all. I'm telling you what, they honor us so very, very much now. But do you understand? I could tell you some stories about those people. Unfortunately, I do not rejoice in that. There's a mindset, and I don't agree with that mindset, but it seems like down south, the churches want the pastor to be blessed. Up north, the churches want the pastor to be poor, and on average, churches are larger down south than they are, amen, up north here. I'm not saying in every case, but you understand, I am not, this is probably embarrassing Pastor and Sister Portman tonight, but this is not about them. This is about you. This is about your family. This is about the future. This is about what God wants to do in this church and what God wants to do in this community. There is a principle. There is a principle called honor. Amen. And we struggle with honoring. We treat guest ministers as good as we can in West Bend. My wife and I, we go over the top with gift bags. When they come, we try and feed them as well as we can, anticipate their needs. We try and give as good honorariums as we can. Amen. I cannot tell you how many pairs of shoes and suits and glasses and purses for the wives and the things that we have done for the ministry. Amen. I can't tell you because I realize this. I have learned a principle. If you treat the man of God right, God will take care of you. If you treat the man of God right, God will bless the church. I'm telling you what, amen. There were times that I forego, and I'm not a hero here, and I want you to understand God has blessed us, amen. But I want you to know there are times I went without pay so we could pay a missionary. I went without pay so we could have a revival and evangelist. God keeps good books. God's taking care of me, taking care of my wife, taking care of our family, but there's a principle that I am trying to live by, and that is if you'll honor the man of God, God will honor you. If you honor the man of God, the blessing of Almighty God will be upon your life. If you honor God, amen, there's something that will take place. How God can use you as a conduit for the miraculous. Amen. Clap your hands to the Lord. You're afraid if you honor the... I really felt this in the Holy Ghost in prayer. And if I offend somebody, I won't be back for another 32 years. But if you feel like if you honor the Portmans, you're dishonoring the Schumachers, so you don't honor anybody? You know what? I've got a novel idea. Let's honor our pastor and let's honor the elder. I think we can honor both, can't we? Oh God, I believe this so strongly. You know what? Your pastor couldn't get up and preach this here today, but this is in the book. This is the word of the Lord. This is something, amen. I remember this. I remember, amen, we did not have a pastoral installation service when I came to West Bend. I just didn't want the hoopla. I didn't want, you know, humble pie, all of this sort of stuff. So I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to do this. Amen. I asked your pastor, did he have an installation? He said, no, we didn't have an installation. You want to know something? Somebody came up to my wife and said to my wife, hey, man, you know why your husband didn't have a pastoral installation? Hey, man, my wife said, why? Because no preacher had come. Nobody had come. Nobody respects him. I want you to know something. Hey, man, and I'm nobody, but the district superintendent of the state of Wisconsin is here tonight to honor your pastor and pastor's wife. Hey, man, I'm here on this first year anniversary, invited myself because this is a man of God and this is a lady of God and these are people, praise the Lord, that God has ordained to come here. Praise God. Praise God. I read what one man said about honor. How do you honor the man of God? Do you show up to service on time? Do you find yourselves resisting inside when your pastor asks you to give a special offering? Do you constantly ignore your leader's call for help in the church? Paul said to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. Do you feel you're equally qualified as the pastor? Do you put up with the leader just because he or she occupies a position? Do you think you could do as good a job or even better? Do you see the pastor as someone who could easily be replaced and treat him as no differently than any other person? I want you to know I pastor in the church that I pastor are incredibly intelligent people. There are people that are a whole lot smarter than I am. Amen. I know that. I understand that. But you don't want to know something? I might be smart as a box of rocks, but this box of rocks is in the will of the Lord, and God is called me to be the pastor. Amen. God has called me. There are a whole lot of guys that are smarter than I am in this district to be a district superintendent. I really do think the Lord's got a good sense of humor. He thought, who could I put? Amen. I'll pick Booker. But you want to know something? I'm in the will of the Lord, and it's not me. Amen. Amen. There's a whole lot of people smarter, and you may be smarter than your pastor. You may be more gifted than your pastor. You may be more intelligent than your pastor, but God has elevated this man, amen, to be the pastor of this church, praise the Lord. God help us, get behind your pastor, honor him. Oh God, we are to give the ministers of the gospel twice as much honor as we would to other leaders. Paul said to Timothy, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Brother Stan Gleason says, double honor means, amen. He says that's talking about finances. And he should get double the average medium income. I don't know. All I'm asking is, if we can learn to honor, we will open up the door to the miraculous. To converse with someone sitting by us while in a service is to dishonor the one speaking, not to mention Jesus Christ. Nor should we text message our friends, use our cell phones, or go in and out of the service. All of this is dishonoring the man of God that God has placed in our lives. I think the Lord has placed a high importance on honoring the man of God in your life. I could see the danger of blaspheming against the Holy Ghost, but making fun of the preacher, what's the big deal about that? Well, I know it's an Old Testament event, but the principle is still the same, I believe. 2 Kings 2:22. So the waters were healed unto this day according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. And he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, Go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tare 40 and two children of them, all because they made fun of the man of God. Those in the Bible who honored their leaders were those who stayed close to the heart of God. Is Brother Portman perfect? No. Is Sister Portman perfect? No. Now, I don't know their imperfections. I'm very impressed with their humility. I'm very impressed with their love for God. I'm very impressed with their love for you and their love for the lost. But I know they're human, so I know they're not perfect. So if you have the ability to see all the flaws in the ministry, I'm sorry for you, but the reason why the Lord would show you the flaws is not to tell everybody about it, but the Lord would show you the flaws so you could get on your knees and honor the man of God in your life and pray, God help my pastor. God help my pastor's wife. God help them, Lord. God help them. God give them the words. I believe the Lord is trying to show us a key to experiencing the supernatural. And that is if we will honor God and we will honor the man of God in our lives. Praise God. There were many widows who died in the days of Elijah during the great famine. However, one lived because of the honor principle. She and her son had only enough flour and oil to make a final meal. Then they both were going to eat that last meal and they both were going to die. However, the prophet Elisha told her to make him a cake first. Wow. Would he have gotten persecuted today? Telling a widow, hey man, so poor, one thing left, one last meal, hey, give it to me. How could Elijah take anything from a poor woman who is about to suffer starvation? However, the word of the Lord instructed, amen, the prophet to tell her to put God first by feeding his servant. If she would honor him in this way, God would honor her. She did, and God did what he promised. Her flour and her oil never ran out the entire duration of the drought. What's the test of honor? 1 Kings 17:12. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he in her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. What am I saying? If you can honor the Lord by honoring the man of God, the Lord will reward you. I'm not asking somebody to give your last bit of money to the Portmans today. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying give a man just the last bit that you have. No, but I am asking you to honor him. I'm asking you to pray for him every day. I'm asking you to respect him. Amen. In your thoughts and your words, I am asking you to remember him on their birthdays and on special anniversaries. I am asking you, amen, during clergy appreciation to do something for them, because I'm telling you, it's not for them. Could they appreciate it? Could they use it? Of course they could. Anybody could. Amen. But I'm telling you, it's for you. If we could ever understand, if you will honor the Lord by honoring the man of God, you will see the blessing of Almighty God in your life. You will see, praise the Lord, amen, the blessing of God upon your families. You will see the miracle-working power of God in your life. Can we stand together? Oh God. Yada bahayata da bahayata. Our text. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Those who honor God will be honored. And we honor God by honoring the men and women of God that God has placed in our lives. The power of the Lord is present in this place to heal. Jesus is in this place. Amen. And he wants to do a mighty work. I'm asking Pastor and Sister Michael Portman to come and stand right up front here. Amen. 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 When I do installation services, I have a charge and I do all of that. I'm not going to do that because this is your first year anniversary. Amen. But what I am going to do is I want to see God do something powerful here today. I want to see the Lord do mighty works here tonight. And so, if you got a headache, you've got cancer, you are having issues at home, your marriage is on the rocks, you've got diabetes, you've got wayward kids, you've got problems, I'm going to ask you to do something tonight. I'm going to ask you to gather around this couple. And I'm going to ask you to pray the blessing of Almighty God on your pastor and pastor's wife. And I believe God is going to do something incredible. Praise the Lord. Would you come? Amen. Would you come and honor this man and this woman, amen, by praying for them? We all aren't going to be able to get there to touch them, amen, amen. But can we all gather up front here? If you're physically able, amen, come on, amen, would you come? Praise the Lord. If you have, amen, some thoughts that you shouldn't have, amen, why don't you pray through by praying, God bless Pastor Michael Portman. God bless the First Lady, amen, Sister Courtney Portman. Oh, come on, let's honor tonight. Amen. Get in as close as you can. Come on, let's honor them. Let's honor them. Lord, I pray, bless them indeed. Enlarge their coast. Keep your hand upon them. Keep them from evil, Lord. I pray, Lord, bless them and keep them, Lord Jesus. Cause your face to shine upon them, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord be upon their life, oh God. I pray for a double portion upon them, Lord. I pray for a double portion upon their ministry, Lord. Now. Amen. Reach out to the Lord in faith. Bring your petition to him right now. Come on. Reach out to the Lord. Lord, I ask you to heal tonight. Lord, I ask you to deliver tonight. Oh, lift your voices and your hands to the Lord. I believe God right now. God can fill you with the Holy Ghost right now. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, the power of the Lord is in this house.
bless you to do great works. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, speak the word. Speak the word. In Jesus' name, I speak healing. In Jesus' name, I speak deliverance. In Jesus' name, I speak refilling. In Jesus' name, I get a hold of those waywards. Draw them to you, Lord. Ya, 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 ta, ya, ta, ya. Ya, 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 da, bo, sha, ta, ya, ta, ya, ta, ya. Oh, Jesus, let's sing something. Ya, 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 da, da, ba, ka, ta, ya, ta, ya. Ya 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 na ba shata ya 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 ta ya ta ya ta ya ta ya ta ra ba ya ka ba ya ya ta ya ta ya ta ya ya ta ya ta ya ta. Get brother sister poor man. I plead the blood upon this amazing couple. I pray, God, a hedge of protection round about them spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, morally, financially, dear God. I pray, God, a double anointing upon both of them, God. Give them the gift of the word of wisdom, dear God. Give them the words to say, Lord God. Let them not be...